Jesus Christ had been born on that day. It wasn't just any child that had been born on that day. The angel gave three names to Jesus as he pronounced his birth on that day. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, someone who has come to deliver you, which is Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the one that God has long foretold is going to come. And he is also the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the master of the universe." This was not just any child. This was a holy child. This was God come down to be among men. And then as confirmation of the validity of this good news that the angel had foretold, the angel told the shepherds that the reason they would know it was true is because of how they would find this child. Verse number 12, the Bible tells us again, "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." I have no doubt that when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords entered this world, most of us would have expected him to come in splendor, to be robed in royal regalia and be ministered to by servants, but that's not how Jesus entered this world. He entered this world in squalor, in a stable of all places. They laid his newborn body in a manger. We see the humility of God stepping down into this earth, and he didn't demand recognition. He didn't demand glory. He came in humility. It's a lesson for us all here, and it's also a reminder of the reason why Jesus came. See, he didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister to us. He came to die on a cross for our sins. That manger in which he was laid was made of wood, and it pointed to the cross of wood that Jesus would one day lay his body on and die. And his body, the Bible says in verse number 12, was wrapped in little pieces of cloth all around, swaddling clothes. His newborn body was wrapped with those swaddling clothes, and 33 years later, his lifeless body, after he died on the cross, would be wrapped in this with that same kind of cloth. Those swaddling clothes were also used to bury the dead. It pointed to the reason why Jesus came. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." That's why Jesus came. And friend, that's the hope of the gospel right there. And really, if you think about it, the message that the angel declared on that day was the message of the gospel. Some good news that the Savior had come to save us all from our sins. And what I love about this in verse 10 is that the angel said that this good news, guess who it was for? Just the Jews, right? No, all people. Anybody. This news is for you today. Friend, this is good news for you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And I'm glad this was a message for all people. And I'll tell you, it'll encourage your heart to sing an alleluia of praise to God when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed afresh and anew. Listen, the gospel isn't just for people that are lost. It's for those of us that are saved too. All right? This is an old story, but it's ever new. And it never gets old to us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Sing it over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Thank God for the good news of the gospel. It'll encourage your heart to sing an alleluia of praise to God if you really let it get a hold of you. And so the first aspect of this angel alleluia we learn from here today is the encouragement of the alleluia. A second aspect I want us to notice this morning is the essence of the alleluia. The essence of it. Now, verse number 13, if you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 13, the Bible says this, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," and we'll stop right there. Imagine this scene with me, what was just described for us here in the Scripture. On this rural hillside outside of Bethlehem, this single angelic messenger appears and begins to convey to these shepherds some wonderful news. And then the Bible says all of a sudden, a great number of angels surrounded that one messenger angel. And they corporately began to fill the sky with an alleluia of praise to God unlike anything that has been heard by human ears in this world before. I can't even comprehend what that must have been like. I can't even imagine how beautiful it must have been to be there on that hillside like those shepherds were on that day. And really, if you really think about it, that was the first Christmas musical that ever took place right there. All right? And we're going to have a Christmas musical next Sunday night. And there's been some others that have taken place here. But that's the one I would like to go to. All right, if we get to watch reruns in heaven, that's one I definitely want to go back and watch, all right? And I imagine it was a beautiful sound that was heard on the earth on that day. The only other event in world history that warranted an angel choir coming to sing in celebration was creation. God told us about this in Job chapter number 38 and verse 4. He said, "When I laid the foundation of the earth, the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy." And boy, when God created the universe, the angels sang on that day at the new creation. But boy, when Jesus Christ came into this world to bring about a new creation in all of our hearts, that warranted another angel choir coming to sing in celebration. And can you imagine what that must have been like on that day there? And I'll tell you this, whenever somebody believes in Jesus today, they become a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can I tell you this? This blessed my heart to discover this week, to think about it. Every time somebody new gets saved, it still results in the angel choir singing hallelujah in heaven today. See, Jesus told us in Luke chapter number 15 and verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repents." Every time somebody bows their head and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's a celebration in heaven. You can mark it down. When Jesus entered this world, there was a celebration. And every time Jesus enters into someone's heart by their faith in Him, there's another celebration that takes place on that day. And there should be for those of us who are the children of God as well. And so we see the essence of this hallelujah. And I'll tell you, when your spirit gets a hold of the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you, it will fill your heart with a desire to sing an alleluia of praise. Those angels knew who Jesus was. They understood why He had come into this earth. And that's what caused them to want to sing this alleluia of praise. And when you truly understand who Jesus is and why He came into this earth, it'll cause your heart to want to sing this same alleluia of praise to the Lord. So we see the encouragement of the alleluia. We see the essence of it, but a third aspect of this angel alleluia I want you to notice is the expression of the alleluia. The expression of the alleluia. After all these things that we've just looked at had taken place, the moment finally came when that angel host joined together in one accord to express this alleluia of praise to the Lord. And I'll tell you, never has there been better harmony. Never has there been a better melody, a melody that I think has rang in this earth than when those angels sang. And what did they sing? Verse 14, this is what they sang. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Imagine how beautiful it must have been to hear these angels sing these beautiful words of praise to the Lord. Never on this earth has the sound of an angel choir ever been heard. In fact, it'll not be till eternity that our ears in heaven one day will be able to hear the sound of the angel choir singing praise to the Lord. The book of Revelation chapter 15, the Bible tells us of when we're going to hear the angel choir sing once again. But never on this earth again will we hear it till we get to heaven. But this event, Jesus Christ coming to the world, was so significant that it warranted the angel choir coming and expressing publicly an anthem of praise to the Lord. And boy, as we look at the alleluia they expressed to the Lord here, and this angelic expression of alleluia, we learn how we ought to express a biblical alleluia of praise to the Lord ourselves. Alleluia is a two-part word that literally is an invitation to worship. It literally means let us join together to praise God for something. That's the whole idea of alleluia, and that's what the angels were compelling the whole world to do at the birth of Jesus Christ, to join together to praise God for some specific things. And I want us to notice what those specific things were. First, they invited us to join together to praise God because Jesus is heaven's praise. Jesus is heaven's praise. Verse 14. Let's read that first part of the verse out loud together. The first six words there. Let's read together. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Jesus is heaven's praise. As they sang glory to God in the highest, they were literally saying there that they wanted to praise God together to ascribe Him the highest glory in the highest regions of the heavens. The word that's used for glory there is the Greek word doxa, where we get our idea of doxology from. And it literally speaks of the most exalted state. There's nothing more exalted. There's no one that should be more exalted. That's the idea of giving glory here. And that's what the angels wanted to do for Jesus Christ as He came down to this earth on that day. You think about it, God's glory has dwelt in the heavens eternally, but God's glory has only dwelt on this earth at particular moments throughout history. In the Old Testament, God's glory was there in the Garden of Eden until man sinned, and the glory departed. In the Old Testament, when the tabernacle and temple were built, it was filled with the glory of the Lord, until Israel's national sin caused the glory to depart. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that we beheld the glory of God in Jesus Christ. He brought God's glory down to this earth. That manger was a little holy of holies, encompassing the presence of God coming into this world. And the glory of God came back into this earth. And here's the wonder of wonders. Listen, when you get saved, your heart becomes a holy of holies for the very presence of God. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But now He's out of the world, and you are the light of the world. Why? Because His presence abides in you. What a beautiful thought that is right there. The angels began to praise God for His glory. That's the first thing they invited us to join together to praise God for at this first Christmas day. And I say one way you ought to express your alleluia of praise to God is by giving God glory this Christmas. I like what one person said about glorifying God. He said, glorifying God means to acknowledge His greatness and give Him honor by praising and worshiping Him, primarily because He and He alone deserves to be praised, honored, and worshiped. If there's anybody who deserves glory this Christmas, it is Jesus Christ who came to save us from our sins. When Jesus stepped down into this world, the angels made sure the world knew He's still the most glorious one in heaven. And He's still the most glorious one today. And so let's join together and praise to the Lord, because Jesus is heaven's praise. But a second reason they praised the Lord here, they sang this alleluia. The second way they expressed this alleluia is they did so by saying that Jesus is earth's peace. Jesus is earth's peace. Look at verse 14 again. The Bible says, as the angels sang this alleluia, they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what, church? Peace. On earth, peace. The angels joined together to praise God for the peace that He had brought down to this troubled earth. You think about the subject of peace. Peace is something that seems to be scarce in our world today, especially in a year like 2021 and in a year following a year like 2020. People seem to be more troubled and uncertain and unstable than they have been in any recent time of history. And it's not been an easy year. It reminds me of the old Peanuts cartoon, all right? Now, that's a Christmas thing right there, all right, if I ever heard it. It reminds me of the old Peanuts cartoon. Lucy said to Charlie Brown, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world. And Charlie looked at her and he said, well, I thought you had inner peace. And Lucy said, I do have inner peace. I just have outer obnoxiousness. I think some of us have a Lucy syndrome when it comes to Christmas, okay? I'm fine. I just don't like anybody, all right? And we can get in that place. We say we have peace, but we don't really have peace. But what is peace? We talk about peace. What is peace? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines peace as the freedom from disturbance, agitation, or war. But that really doesn't hit it on the head for me. In other words, if I'm not at war, if I'm not agitated, or I'm not disturbed, then I can have peace, but that isn't necessarily true. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. You ever heard shalom before? It's a beautiful word. I don't have time to convey all of it here, but shalom is a word that it literally speaks of completeness or fullness or wholeness. And so many people in our world today, though they may be at peace from conflict on the outside, they still do not have any peace on the inside. They have no completeness in their hearts. They have no wholeness in their hearts. And this is because they have not experienced true shalom peace. There's something missing inside. Everything can be fine on the outside, but there's something missing inside. And I've said this so often, inside of every person that enters into this world is a God-sized hole that only Jesus can fill. Friend, without Jesus Christ in your life, you'll not have any peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, the Old Testament says. But when you have Jesus, you'll know a peace that you've never known before. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus came to give us two kinds of peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. See, one of the reasons we don't have inner peace in this world, when we enter in this world, is because we're not at peace with God. We are sinners, and we know we deserve judgment from God, and we spend our whole life trying to make our peace with God, but we never can. Without Jesus, but Jesus came to die for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could have peace with God. And listen, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get that peace with God, and then He gives us another kind of peace. Peace with God, the second kind of peace He gives us is the peace of God. I witnessed the peace of God 2 years ago with Donita. It was 2 years ago yesterday that Donita Jones graduated to heaven. And as we walked through that trial with her in her final days, it was amazing to me the peace she had in her heart. I've seen the peace of God displayed on Dot Gap as well earlier this year. And so many others that I could mention here, people that have walked through their final days and they had no fear, they had an absolute peace in their heart. That doesn't make sense to people who don't know Christ, but those of us who know Christ, who have the blessed hope in our heart, we understand that we can have peace that passes understanding. When we know Jesus Christ, He brings us that peace. Jesus said in John chapter number 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as this world gives, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The angels sang a hallelujah of praise to the Lord because He is heaven's glory. They sang a hallelujah of praise to Jesus because He's brought peace on earth. But a third reason they sang this hallelujah of praise to Jesus is because Jesus is man's patron. He's man's benefactor. He's the one who's come down on this earth to show goodwill towards men. That's what He said in verse 14. "The glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What is goodwill besides a store? Okay? That's what most people know goodwill as. Goodwill, it literally means benevolence. It means showing kind intentions towards someone else. Can I say, never has there been someone who has shown more goodwill to anyone than when Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven, came into this world, and died for the sins of mankind. Never has there been a more kindly intent expressed than what Jesus Christ did on our behalf in this world. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says of Jesus that He went about doing good. He went about doing good to other people, taking care of other people's needs, putting other people before Himself. Never has someone shown more goodwill than Jesus Christ. And, if you think about it, God is truly the source from which all goodness flows to every one of us in our lives. And yet, that being true in a general sense, there is even more a specific goodness that those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior have experienced from the hands of God that those without Christ could not possibly understand. The love, the joy, the peace, the satisfaction that comes from knowing Christ is unlike anything else that this world has to offer. And that all is all made possible by the goodwill of Jesus Christ towards people like you and me. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said, "All the good that we have is owed to God's goodwill." God hadn't been so good to us and to come and save us, we could have never known the goodness that we get to experience on a day by day basis as believers. And hallelujah to His name for His goodwill. These angels gathered on that hillside that day, they began to express an alleluia of praise to God, who is heaven's glory, who is earth's peace, and who is man's patron, the one that is good to people like you and me. And boy, this Christmas season, may we be reminded of that same those same reasons that we have to express this alleluia of praise to God. See, it's so easy to look to other things and make other things glorious. Well, that song was great. Well, those decorations are pretty. Well, that was such a good party. And we can make a God out of all kinds of things during this season. But remember, the one we're supposed to be giving glory to is Jesus. There's no one more glorious than Him. And you'll not find peace in getting all your Christmas presents bought, by the way, either. All right. Now, how many of you have not even started yet? Go ahead and confess. All right. All right, you better get started here real soon. I'll just say that right now. But you won't get peace just because you got all your presents. You won't get peace just because you feel like you have everything on the outside altogether. Jesus is the only one who can bring you that peace, and He deserves your hallelujah of praise when He's given it to you. And so many other things we can learn from these things here. But let's move on and notice the final aspect here, and I'll just be able to mention it because we're almost out of time. We've seen the encouragement of the hallelujah. We've seen the essence of it. We've seen the expression of it, but the final thing I want us to see is the effect of the Alleluia. What did this Alleluia result in the hearts of those shepherds? Well, as we look to that hillside in Bethlehem again, after they heard the angels sing this Alleluia, verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." Can I tell you what it first resulted in here? Was these shepherds, after they heard this Alleluia, they had a desire to go see what it was all about. They had a desire to see it. And it does provoke the thought in my heart to think, I wonder, by your expression of praise to God during this Christmas season, by how genuine or how ungenuine it is, if it would provoke anybody else around you in your life to want to see what you're so excited about, to want to see what your heart is so thrilled about. See, sometimes we can come to church and we can sing these songs we've sung 50, 60 times throughout our lifetime, and it can just be a meaningless thing to us. When those shepherds heard those angels sing Alleluia, after they got done singing, those shepherds said, we got to go see what this is all about. I wonder if there's people in your life today who would want to see what this Jesus thing is all about because of your heart of worship to the Lord this Christmas. A convicting thought for us. This Alleluia, what effect did it have on those shepherds? What produced in them a desire to see what it was all about? But I see a second thing here, and that is that it produced in them a desire to share what they had seen. Look at verse number 17, and we'll be done. You're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." After those shepherds had experienced Jesus for themselves, they couldn't help but share Him, what they had seen and experienced, with every person that they met. I like what the apostles said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. They said, hey, whether you think it's right for us to do this or not, we can't help but share the things that we've seen and heard. I can't help but talk about what I've seen in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we as Christians get criticized for being too vocal about our faith. We ought to save that for a church. You ought to save that for a different context. But man, if you just knew what we have. If you're in here today, if you could just understand what it is that we have experienced, Jesus Christ has transformed our hearts. Jesus Christ has changed our life. Jesus Christ has given us a hope and a peace and a satisfaction and a joy unlike anything else that this world could possibly experience. And if you just knew what it is that we have, you would want it too. Friend, the reason we can't shut up about it is because Jesus has truly changed our lives. At least that's how it should be. We ought to have a desire when we truly understand what Jesus Christ has come and given to us to want to share it with every single person that we meet. It's a good challenge for us during this Christmas season to share this Alleluia of praise with every person we meet. And so God desires for this angelic Alleluia to fill your heart during this Christmas season as well. So in conclusion, let me ask you a few questions. What has God been doing in your life to encourage an Alleluia from your heart? Do you see God working behind the scenes in His plan for your life that might produce a reason for you to sing Alleluia this season? Maybe it's the presence of God in your heart, afresh and anew, that you realize would provoke a reason for you to sing Alleluia. What has God done in your life today that would give you reason to sing an Alleluia of praise to the Lord today? And if God has made that clear to you this morning, would you be willing, Christian, from your heart, to sing that Alleluia of praise to Him? I understand there's some of you in this room that don't know Jesus Christ. You don't have a reason to sing. But friend, you can. And if God's speaking to your heart about that today, well, I hope you'll come during this invitation. Let someone take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He came to save you. He came to give your life significance and meaning. And I don't care who you are and what you've done. God appeared to the lowliest of shepherds and the richest and wealthiest of men. And whatever class of society you are, however great or small of a sinner you feel like you are, Jesus Christ can save your soul today if you'd come and allow Him to do so. And I hope you will, if that's what God's speaking to your heart about. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed. Our